Okay. Now, there's a further, there's something further we should note over here, and this, even though, as I said, the final halachic formulation is that a ben noach is not allowed to do those things, not allowed to mix the animals or the plants, nevertheless, if he does so, this is not under the death penalty. Okay, the society cannot execute a person, all right, or cannot insist on a death penalty, even if the people in the society do this. It's wrong. You have to teach them it's wrong, but you aren't permitted to use execution as a means of convincing them that it's wrong. Whereas when you come to the other seven laws, the Ben Noah court has a right to execute someone if they don't want to abide by any of those laws. Okay, Davari, you have a right to, Ben Noah court has a right to execute them, but not for the grafting of the species, all right, either the plant life or the animal life. There, it's a violation. Nevertheless, it is not on the same standard, because the death penalty is not permitted to be used in such a case. Okay, so there it's important to note that distinction. And now as we go a little further, I think we'll come to a new concept, a different concept of the Noahide laws, which we don't have up to this point. And to that, I'm going to raise another question, all right? Maimonides states that Adam the First received six commandments. All right, we'll find out where Maimonides gets this from as we...
Rabbi, okay. We've got Gary Buchanan's got a question before we proceed on this one.
Yeah. Yes, Rabbi, before you leave that subject, what is the purpose for having the laws of grafting?
Okay.
What is it, to preserve nature, or, you know, or what's the purpose
of
it?
That's what I hope to... You're right on track over here, because I hope to answer that question if we, as I'm answering the other questions. All right? So, in other words... What we're going to try to do is come up with one answer that will take care of a few questions. All right? Okay. So let's just go see to another question. Maimonides states that Adam the First only had six commandments because he says the law of the limb of the living animal didn't come into existence until Noah, where God said you're allowed to eat the animal world. I'm giving it to you to eat just as the grass and the seeds that I gave you before, and just as the grass of the fields, I'm giving you this as well. So he says, so at that point, when Noah was permitted to eat the animals, then God said, however, but you're not permitted to eat the limb of a living creature. So he says that was a restriction. That Adam the First didn't have that. Why? Because Adam the First wasn't permitted to eat the animals. As it states in the beginning of Genesis. Okay? So the question, however, so that's why Maimonides says that Adam the First could have only had six, not seven. The question that the scholars ask on Maimonides is, but Maimonides seems to have forgotten something. What about the very violation against eating the animal life itself? Wouldn't that constitute a commandment for Adam? So Adam should have had seven, just as Noah had seven, except his seventh would not be the limb of a living creature. It would be simply the prohibition against eating all living creatures. Okay? That is something that that they raise against Maimonides. That Maimonides says there were only six. Okay. Now, some want to say that the answer, in order to answer this question, what they want to say is that Maimonides didn't count, because Maimonides, when he gives the count, he has 14 chapters where he discloses the principles of how you count mitzvot, how you count the 613. And he says, there are certain commandments that were given for the time, at the time, and these don't count as eternal commandments. For instance, the commandment that they were supposed to take the rod of Aaron and place it in the Holy of Holies. That's not something which, that was one commandment given at one time to Moses, but there's no commandment, it's not an eternal commandment. It was a one-time commandment. So therefore, Maimonides states those do not count as part of the 613. The 613 commandments are only if they're constants, but not commandments that were given to the Jews in the desert under certain circumstances. For instance, take the manna and put it in a jar That was not a commandment for generations and generations. That was just a one-time commandment. So Maimonides explains in his Principles of the 613 that you never count a commandment that was a one-time commandment. That's not the 613. The body of the 613 are the eternal 613 commandments, and not every time God gave Moses a commandment. There were certain commandments that were just a one-time thing, specific for that God made that commandment specific for that time and place, and that's it. Okay, that's completely logical, and nobody disagrees with Maimonides on that. So so what they try to do is, some of the scholars, in order to answer the question that's the question against Maimonides, why he says Adam the first had only six, when he should have counted the one that included the prohibition against killing animals in general. So they say because that law of killing animals in general was not an eternal law, because it was revoked at the time of the flood. So Maimonides is in conformity with his own principles when it comes to the 613, which is that that you don't count anything that's not an eternal law. That was just a specific law for Adam the first, but at Noah, the time of Noah, was revised, and the eternal law, the eternal seven. So Maimonides is saying Adam the first only had six eternal commandments. That's one way. That's a way that the scholars use, some scholars use, to answer that question on Maimonides, why Maimonides says that there are six. Obviously, he knew that there was a prohibition against eating animals, and he should have said seven. So they say that prohibition was not an eternal one. He didn't count that. Okay. I would like to give a different answer. I'll present it to you now. If you take a look at the Bible, let's take a look at the Genesis. Study the Bible a little bit. We'll see. It's an interesting thing. Genesis 1, 28 and 29, okay? It says that God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and conquer it. And you should have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the sky, and in every wild animal that creeps, every animal that creeps on the earth. Okay, that's 28. Now 29. And God said, behold, I gave unto you all grass that that produces seed, that exists upon the face of all the earth, and every tree that has fruit that produces seed, for you it shall be to eat. Okay, fine. So here is where you see that God instructed man with regard to his diet. Fine. Now, in 30, it says, and unto all the animals of the earth, and unto all the birds of the sky, of the heavens, of the sky, and unto all that creepeth on the ground that has life, all the green grasses to eat. And it was so. Okay. Now, there's something very difficult in verse 30, all right, from a zoological standpoint. I'm not a zoologist, but I know that there are carnivores and there are herbivores. Okay? So the question, of course, is, what is God saying here? That the carnivores are supposed to starve, all right? Because it says unto all the animals of the earth, and all to the birds of the heavens, and everything that creeps on the ground that has life, that they are supposed to also eat the grasses. Correct? Well, that would imply that there's no such thing as a carnivore, but we know that's not true. Okay. Now, as you know, there can't be anything in the Torah that's against reality. So how would we explain this verse, Genesis 1:30? Okay, that's a problem. Now, when we take a look at Rashi, who gives us, again, the insight of the oral law, Rashi says this on this verse 29 and 30, he says that what verse 30 is trying to do, he says, is to compare. To compare and to equate, actually. That's a better way to put it. He equated the animals to man. And he says, and he did not permit man to kill any living animal and to eat the flesh. He was restricted to the vegetation alone, that they should all eat together. Okay? And then when the sons of Noah came, then he said that anything that creeps you can eat. Okay? But at this point, Rashi explains, there was a prohibition against eating, killing animals. Alright? So Rashi explains that this verse 30 is saying that man and animal ought to be equated in their diets. Now let me just elaborate a little more on this and you'll see how it answers the zoological question. Okay? In verse 30, according to Rashi, God is not describing the diets of the animals. Not describing the diets of the animals. Okay. Now, you can prove this. The way this can be proven is, if that were a description of what the animal kingdom are supposed to eat, it should not have been at this point. It should have been in the beginning of that chapter. It begins with Genesis 1:24. All right, in Genesis 1:24, God says that the living animals should come into existence, animals and creeping animals and wild animals according to their species, and it was so. That's verse 24. And then verse 25, and God created all the animals according to their species, and God saw that it was good. Close. That's the end of that little area. Okay? Then in verse 26, God says, now let us create man in our image, and he will have dominion over these animals. So if God were giving the diet of animals, where should it logically have been placed? Not after verse 26, which is dealing with man. It should have been before verse 26, 24 and 25, or before 26. Then God says to the animals that you are only supposed to eat vegetation, if in fact God was giving mandates to the animal kingdom. But you see, it was placed after the creation of man. And that's why the oral law steps right in at this point and says that this verse 30 is not describing what the animals are supposed to eat. That's not the purpose of verse 30. Verse 30 is telling us something else. It's explaining really what verse 29 is. According to the oral law, 29 and 30 are like one unit. And that's why 30 begins with and. And always means continuation. Okay, what verse 30 is saying is that in verse 29, God says, where I have told you to restrict your diet to vegetation, what I'm telling you is that you are supposed to be equated with the animal kingdom. You have no rights over them. You can't kill them. You should share in their diet. Okay? However, it does not mean that you can, means it's not referring to the diet of carnivores. I'll explain that. You see, in the animal kingdom, and I'm not a zoologist, but as far as I know, there are basically 10 categories of carnivores. Now, in every one of those categories, there is no such thing as a category of carnivore which is not also an omnivore. In other words, in the families. If you take, for instance, a bear, okay? A bear is a carnivore, but it's basically an omnivore. So, let's say the class of dogs, okay? In the class of dogs, a dog is a carnivore, but it also eats vegetation. Now, in every class, there isn't a single class actually where the animals is exclusively eat. There are particular animals that exclusively eat meat, like for instance a wolf. A wolf exclusively is exclusively a carnivore. Okay, but then a dog is not, and the same thing is true of a not a jackal, what are the ones in the West, those animals, the wild dogs in the West? They're not wolves, they're another kind of, does anybody know? The name just escapes me now. I remember camping one night and hearing them all night howling. It'll come to me in a second. But anyways, the...
Coyote?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The coyote, right. That's right. Camping out in the desert one night, we heard them all night long. The coyote, which really is not just in the desert, actually they even have them in Maine as far as I know, but the coyote will eat corn, will eat vegetation, as farmers unfortunately know. So the coyote is from the same family, but it's not strictly a carnivore. Every family is, the cat family is the most carnivorous, but even you have certain individuals of the species that also eat vegetation. So what the verse of the Bible over here is not telling the, not describing what the animals eat. It is saying man must realize that he does not have dominion over the kingdom. And as a matter of fact, he is supposed to identify with the animal kingdom and eat the basic food that all the animal kingdoms eats, which is the grass of the field. Okay? The concept, what is the concept? The concept is that man, God wanted man to recognize his place on this earth. That while he has certain great abilities, like intellect and understanding, knowledge, and he is even capable of harnessing the animal kingdom, using them for his own purposes, like in harvesting, or in plowing. He can use them, but he doesn't really have total dominion over them. In other words, it's a limitation of his dominion. And on the contrary, he should consider himself as a citizen of the planet, and in one sense, he is just like the animals. He has no dominion over them, and he shares in their basic food, which is vegetation. So this verse 30 is not here to describe what the animals eat. There are carnivores. But what it's telling man is that he should identify with the animal kingdom, not feel superior to them, and feel on the contrary that he shares in their diet, in their essential diet, which is what grows on the planet. Okay? And as I said, all the animal kingdom on the whole eat the herbivores, of course, and even most of the carnivores do eat vegetation as well. So the Bible is describing what the animals are supposed to eat, because then it would belong before the creation of Adam. But what it's a mandate, a commandment given to Adam to tell him that he should not allow his ego to take off and to think that he's something special. Yes, he's special in one sense, but in another sense, he's supposed to consider himself as a member, a species of the planet, and not have dominion over the animals, and on the contrary, identify with the animals, with most of the, so far as their diet is concerned, eating only the vegetation. Okay? So that explains why the question that we raised from zoology. But it does more than that. What it shows is that there was a philosophical concept given to Adam over here. Now this concept is how he must look at himself in terms of his position in nature. He's superior in one sense, but in another sense, he's a member of the planet. He must know his place. And he must recognize that he is also just another species, okay? And he shouldn't exercise superiority over the other species. All right. So it means to say that man basically must recognize that he's a member of the planet, and he shouldn't make a mistake and consider himself, think of himself as as a god, okay? You'll remember in the story of Adam and Eve, what the snake says, you will be like a god. You'll be like something very superior, princes or something godly. That was exactly what God told man not to do. He should know his place. He has certain attributes, but on the other hand, in another sense, he's supposed to identify with the animal kingdom and realize that he's just another species on the planet. Okay? So that was a philosophical concept, that man is limited in what he could do. He is not a god. He can't just do anything on this planet. He's limited. He has to know his place. Now, that's the meaning of, that's what it means. It means, as a matter of fact, it should go so far as him identifying with the animals. He eats vegetation, and most of the animal kingdom eat vegetation. So he should consider himself, by the fact that he eats vegetation, that he doesn't have dominion, he can't kill any of the animals, He is like one of them. He takes what God gave him, and God allowed him to eat vegetation, and that's what he's supposed to eat. And he's just another member of the world of the animal kingdom. So now, this idea, which is man knowing his place in the universe, was given to Adam the first. Now, this is different, a different kind of commandment, different in substance than the other six commandments that he received. Because the other ones, again, as we said before, make up the entity of the minimal level of societal existence. This is really a positive philosophical concept which teaches man his place in the universe. It's a different kind of a thing. It is a commandment which is, even though it's a negative commandment, but it is of a positive nature. Its essence is to teach man a certain philosophical principle. The other commandments are really the societal structure, the minimal level of societal structure. Okay? So here we have a new type of commandment, a commandment which is of a philosophical nature to teach man his place in the universe, a different kind of commandment than setting up laws for society, minimal laws of society which allow you to have the basic level of human civilization. That's a different kind of a concept. Over here, we're talking about a positive idea, man knowing his place. It's a philosophical notion, a philosophical concept. That's why this law is different than the other six. And in my opinion, that's why Maimonides doesn't mention this law. Because, you see, this law is of a different kind of a different nature. Now, what happened to this law? The question is, as we know, after Noah, this law was gone because God said that man is not going to be troubled anymore with his inability to consume animal flesh. And God gave him a permit to, he permitted him to eat the animals and to kill them if necessary for his own food. So he gave him that permit. Well, how does man know his place in the universe then? So the answer is that it was translated, there was still another law that was left, that remained, that was still teaching that idea. And that is not to crossbreed the animal species or the plant species. Because when he can't do that, it shows him that he is not in control, not in total control. When it comes to life, God is in control. He is not in control. He can't just crossbreed and create species as he sees fit. He is not God. Okay? It teaches him his place in the universe, and it reduces his ego. So, actually, this law, which is the prohibition of crossbreeding, is what remained from the original system, which taught the same idea, but on a more severe scale, which was the fact that he wasn't allowed to kill any of the animal kingdom. He had to respect their existence and consider himself just another species. That was too difficult for man, and God said that's too difficult for him, because in fact, archaeologists, people who study the paleontologists, they show that if you don't eat meat, if the tribe can't eat meat, that is very hard for them to exist, because meat is packed with energy and it's easily attainable. If you just have a society that's completely vegetarian, it's very difficult to eke out a living, especially in the primitive state. So God removed the strictness and the severity of the original law. He reduced it, but the concept still remains. And the concept remains in the form of man recognizing his limitation. He can't crossbreed the species, which means he has to respect species. God is the one that determines the species, and he has to stop at a certain point and recognize that his technology can't go beyond a certain point. That's the reason for the prohibition of the crossbreeding. But, again, this prohibition is to teach man his place in the universe. It's a philosophical idea, and it is not a part of the seven. Because, again, the seven are the components of the minimal societal level of civilization. That's the minimal level of civilization. Those are the seven. But man's place in the universe is extremely important, but it's a philosophical notion, and it is of a different type. That's why it doesn't count as a member of the group of the seven. It's not an eighth commandment, so to speak. It is a different type of commandment. It is the same kind of commandment that Adam the First received when he was not permitted to eat any of the animal kingdom. Okay? So that answers the, and that's why Maimonides doesn't count it, as he says Adam the First only had six. He means six of the seven. He doesn't mean only six commandments. He means six out of the seven. So because the prohibition against eating, against killing the species, of course, is a different kind of prohibition. It's not in the group of the seven, and that's why there is no death penalty for it, as we mentioned before. Because it's to teach man his place in the universe, which is an important, extremely important idea, but there's no death penalty if a person in the society doesn't do this. I mean, we instruct him to do it, but if he doesn't do this, he's not close to God. He's not partaking of God's perfection, and he's not keeping the basic laws. But that's not the same thing as the seven, which are a delineation of the minimal level of societal existence. Okay, so I believe that answers the three questions that we raised. The question of why it's not an eighth, and the question of why Maimonides counts six for Adam the First and not seven, and it also answers the question that was raised before, that somebody just asked me before: what's the purpose of the law? Why are we not permitted? Why is the Ben Noach not permitted to cross? And it also explains why it's okay for him to wear the shatnez, which is the woolen linen, because there he's not doing an act of crossbreeding, because that's something else. That's not he's not really distorting nature by creating a new species. Those species existed, but that's a separate law for the Ben Israel not to wear the woolen linen, separate thing. There's another reason for that, but that's not that's not included under the same reason, not in the same reasoning as the prohibition against the grafting and crossbreeding of animals. Okay, are there any questions?
I think that pretty well covers it. We've got about Gary Buchanan's got one. We've got about a minute and a half, so he's going to have to make it, he's going to have to walk quick.
Okay, did Gary, did he ask me the question before?
He asked the question before.
Okay, good.
Yeah, here he is.
The societal laws that was given to Noah,
right.
I assume they're for all humankind,
yes.
All of mankind.
That's exactly.
What did God give other laws to Noah that were personal laws, and if he did, and you know, such as we know he offered sacrifices, were any of these laws permanent?
Yes. There are other laws, and when we continue with the laws of Bnei Noach, we will see, for instance, the law of not adding to any of the commandments. That is definitely a law which there is no doubt that Noah received as well. And Noah was a highly perfected individual, which means that he definitely, of necessity, had to keep many of the 613, because many of those 613 have to do with human perfection.